Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
Leslie Bishop Joe, we do give God glory, honor, and praise for you, and thank you for joining us on tonight. Let's just look to the Lord and get right into our chat for tonight. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We ask that you would allow the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, to be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are our strength and you are our Redeemer. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Listen, we're going to take a short time tonight to share a word with you that hopefully will inspire you and build you up. I know that there are times in our lives when God seems unfair, or when God's choices, God's decisions may seem unfair. Have you ever felt that what you were going through was just simply unfair, or that God had forgotten about you? That's what we're talking about tonight. Perhaps some of you are there right now. But you were chosen to walk in favor. You were chosen to reflect God's glory. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about this and what it means to really stay the course in spite of feeling that God's ways are sometimes unfair, or in spite of feeling that sometimes God has forgotten about us, because neither of those things is true. You know, God will not forget about you. God will not forget about me. But life happens to all of us. There are times when individuals are wondering, you know, God, where are you? Perhaps there are things that have happened that have caused you to just feel alone, or feel like you're the only one who's going through what you're going through. Some people are dealing with feeling that God is punishing them for something. You know, why else would this be happening? But I want you to know that you're not alone. There was a segment that I did on a video clip that I do, inspirational video clips called 2 out of 24, 2 minutes out of 24, and it was entitled, You Are Not Alone. So I want to share tonight that you're not alone. God hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't certainly singled you out. No matter what we may be feeling or thinking or what we may be going through, God has promised to be with us. God has promised to strengthen us, and he's promised to give us the direction that we need as we go through what we go through. So God wants each and every one of us to understand, to know, and have an assurance that he knows how we feel, he cares about how we feel, and he knows more about what it is that we're dealing with, than we do. This is what I find great peace in, is that whatever I'm encountering, God knew about it before I got there. You know, he's already in our tomorrow, so he knows about the thing before it comes upon us, and he's already begun to work it out. You know, don't you find that assuring to know that whatever it is you're facing today, God has already determined what the solution will be? You're not facing anything, and I'm not facing anything that has caught God by surprise. So even before we begin to cry out to him or pray to him, you know, for the solution, for the answer, he already has the answer. He's just waiting on us to look to him. God wants us to always look to him in all things. He's teaching us to trust him. He's teaching us to have an assurance that he's not against us, but he's for us. And so we'll look at some scriptures tonight because the Lord wants us to have an assurance as his people to know that in this hour, if nothing else, we're going to have an assurance that God is for us. And when he's for us, he's more than the world against us, that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. And we have to find out that, you know, many things are going to come our way, but God is always going to bring us out. This is why we're faced with various trials and circumstances, is because God wants us to get to a place where we're growing up in him and where we're able to stand on our faith. We're able to stand steadfast. We're able to be unmovable. Because we know that our God has purpose for us. We know that our God will never leave us. And we know that he's always leading and guiding us, leading and guiding us into all truth. Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures, and then we'll move farther into this lesson. One scripture I want to share with you comes from James chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations," which means various types of trials and various trials. And we know these scriptures. We know them well. Verse 3 says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." So this we know, that whatever it is that comes our way, God is simply working patience in us because we have to wait on him. He tells us further down in that scripture, that passage of scripture, that we're to let patience have her perfect works. Because when we do that, we'll be perfect and entire. We'll be wanting nothing. And God always makes provision for us. He tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Just ask of God. He gives to all men liberally. And that's not gender specific. It's speaking to all of us. He gives to all men liberally. He won't hold back. If we ask, it's going to be given. Then I want you to look at Romans 8. This is another very familiar passage of Scripture. And it says, Romans 8 and 28, "And we know." So one other thing that you need to put a pin in tonight is that we must know. There has to be a knowing. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." So we have to just know that we know that we know. When life seems unfair, when it seems that God has forgotten about us, when it seems that God has turned his back on us, because these things are just not true. They're not true. But where do these things come from? Sometimes, you know, because of situations that we've been faced with, and perhaps these scriptures were not applied to our lives. You know, if we're going through things and we have not allowed for patience to have her perfect work, then, of course, we're not seeing the end result of what God would have done in the situation, because God didn't have the opportunity to bring us out. We decided to find a way out on our own rather than waiting on God and looking for the end of that thing as God would have planned it to be. That's that scripture in James 1 and 2. So God is saying, listen, when you're facing diverse trials and temptations and testings, you have to wait on me. You have to allow patience to have a perfect work, because when you do that, then you'll find that it was all for your good. This is the only way that we realize what it is that God has in store for us, is that we go to the end of a thing. You know, we have to see it to its completion so that God can do what it is that he's doing in our lives, so that he can perfect that which concerns you and concerns me. You know, so sometimes people are dealing with a situation where their belief system is in error. You know, they're looking to God, but not waiting for God to give the answer, not waiting for God to bring the conclusion or the resolve. So we deal with a lot of, you know, unnecessary pain and hardship, and it comes to bear on our belief system. In other words, we begin to believe things that are just not true about God. And that brings us back to our title for tonight, why some people feel as though God is against them, or that God is just not fair, when we know that's not true of him, that's not his character. And we're not trying to minimize anything that anyone's going through, but certainly when people are feeling that they're being singled out, or that God has stepped away from them, we want to bring that back in line with the truth of God's word, because God has a great plan for his people. God has a great plan for you and for me. If you know him tonight, God has a great plan for you. Those loved ones that you're praying for who haven't come to the Lord yet, guess what? Even though things look very bleak, sometimes they look very negative, look very opposed to God, but God yet has a plan, right? So we have to realize that sometimes those things that we've been taught, those things that, you know, we've come up with, and even sometimes those teachers and leaders, and even sometimes in our families, we've been brought up under systems and belief systems that are not necessarily in line with the word of God. That's why we have to know him for ourselves. We have to cultivate a relationship with the Lord for ourselves. You know, I spoke about that in my first book. I talked about us being a part of two separate kingdoms. And in the one kingdom, this earthly kingdom, we take on those belief systems of our parents. Excuse me, our parents, you know, teachers, life experiences, those things around us, things that we read, things that we watch, we take on that, and that's all that we have to reflect upon. That's our foundation. That's what we go back to, resort to when we're faced with hard circumstances, is what it is that we've been taught, or what has been put into us. Well, that's why we have to be so careful about our little ones, because many of our ideas and our concepts, those things are not based in truth. Even though we came up with people who had well intentions, the reality is much of that is not based in truth. And the church of God today, as we're going forward in these times, these turbulent times, God is pushing us back to him and back to his word, and helping us to see where perhaps we've learned untruths about him, about this walk, about how to live for him, so that we can get to know him in a new way, so that we can find out if there's error in our belief system, you know, so that it causes us to more or less look at God and to God with mistrust as opposed to trusting him. Sometimes when we've learned that, you know, God is a God who's looking to punish us, you know, that, you know, God is just waiting to strike us when we do something wrong. You know, he's so judgmental. You know, people who are living very much so by a rigorous set of rules and legalistic ways, but not walking in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. We did a lesson on that several weeks ago. Then it's hard to enjoy the liberty of Christ. And it's not liberty to sin, but it's liberty to live. You know, it's liberty to trust. It's liberty to worship. It's liberty to go forward in the things of God and to understand that you won't always get it right. But whether or not you always get it right or make the right decision, it's knowing that God is there for you. and, you know, he's for us and he won't leave us, that we're not victims, we're victors. And so this is a totally new mindset for the believer, but it's vital for us. God has said that in everything and on every account, we can trust him. That's why he says in James 1, where we just read, he says, count it all joy. Why would I count it all joy when I'm falling into divers temptations? Why would I do that? It's because I have a God whom I can trust to bring me out victoriously. You know, that if I make a mistake, he's not going to condemn me, but he's going to allow this trial, this trying that's coming my way, the various trials that I have to face, to work patience in me. And patience is something that we're all going to need if we're going to endure. You know, that's the trick of the enemy, to get us to get off course and not trust God, not stay the course, because that's the only thing that gets us to the end. That's the only thing that brings us to the resolve, or brings us to the end that God has ordained for our lives, is a resolve to walk in faith and to have patience and to wait on God. And see, otherwise, we circumvent the plan of God. In other words, while God is working on us, God is working through us, God is dealing in our situations, God is taking us through a time that can sometimes feel very hard, very difficult, but it's working patience in us. And look what happens when we let patience have her perfect work. James 1, verse 4, it says, we'll be perfect and entire. That means being complete, wanting nothing. We're wanting nothing, and we're going to talk more about that, what that means, in just a few minutes, because I'm sure many are saying, well, there's a lot of things I want. You know, there are many things that I want, but we're talking about as we live this life with Christ, okay? So there are many things that we need to understand. Sometimes we're feeling like we just don't know why we're dealing with what we're dealing with. Sometimes we may feel as though God has betrayed us. But all of those things come from a false belief system, and God wants to redirect our thinking. God wants us to come to a place where we really trust him. And sometimes that's hard when we're going on what it is that we've been taught all of our lives. So this is why we have to stay in the Word of God, you know, find out who he is, understand his character. Know that God is blessing us, God is planning for us, when we don't, quote-unquote, deserve to be blessed, because that's the system that we've been brought up under. It's kind of an honor system in families where you do good, you know, and then you get good. You know, you get good things when you do good. When you act well, you get good things. But that is the system of the world. But God says, even though we're undeserving, he blesses us. We woke up today, you and I, if you're listening to this broadcast, whenever you're listening to it, that means you're alive, you're alive. We awakened and faced a day that was loaded with new mercies, new benefits. You know, the favor of God yet rests upon us. But that doesn't mean we deserved it. That doesn't mean we deserve it today. It doesn't mean we did everything right before we went to bed last night, or even as we got up this morning. But this is the character of our God. You know, he honors his word, and so even above his name. And so God is always faithful, and he's not operating on a system as our parents or others in a world system operate. It's a kingdom system, and it's different. And that's why he wants us to know he's always working to keep us out of harm's way. He's always working for our good. Those who love us in the worldly system believe that they're doing what they do for our good, but the Word of God speaks to it generally being out of their own selfish motives and what they feel is good, because we can only see so far. So oftentimes we're asking God, why? You know, why is this happening to me? You know, why am I in this situation? How is it that I can really believe that everything that happens to me is always to be happening for my good? Is it possible to really believe that anyway, that you really believe that everything that's happening in your life is happening and working together with other things in your life for your good. Do you really believe that? Because that's what we just read, that all things, we just read that in Romans 8 and 28. And so, again, I say this is a part of a belief system that has to be changed in our lives, because when we say we believe the word of God, depending on what we're going through, you may find believers who are not really believing that at the time. But Paul is saying here, and we know. So in other words, he's taking for granted that a child of God who's called according to the purposes of God has a knowing that all things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So that gives us a totally different mindset. It causes us to respond to situations differently. It causes us to go into trials and temptations and hurts and whatever we face, disappointments. We approach those things differently when we believe and know, for we know. So when we're knowing that all these things are working together for our good, think about that. We don't have a, you know, oh, God, why me? Why is this? You know, it's that no longer applies, because we believe that God hears us, and we believe that God has our best at heart, and we believe that there is no situation that can take control over us or bring evil upon us that God is not going to turn for our good. We believe that. You know, it doesn't mean that Christians don't face situations that are bad, you know, in and of themselves. Someone wrote a book once about why do bad things happen to good people. But the reality is life happens to all of us, okay? There may have been a time in your life you didn't believe God existed at all, you know, but you've been changed. You know that God is real. You've accepted the Lord, and now there's a journey. And we have to believe that on this journey, God has purposed it, that everything we face, all of our life circumstances and situations and events are going to work together for our good, because he has an expected end. Sometimes you're going through things that are very frustrating, very hurtful, very painful, and sometimes you do feel alone. But we must know that God never leaves us. He'll never forsake us. We have to always have a mindset that the outcome is going to be good. The outcome. I can't see the outcome now, but I know that it's good. Now, this is another thing. Even when you're at the other side of it, the outcome may not look good. It may not feel good. But again, that's a part of trusting God, because only God knows why we're going through what we're going through, because he knows the end of a thing before the beginning. So sometimes when you come out of your trial or your testing, it's not going to look good. It's not going to be, oh, wow, you know, I know. No, always it's not like that. So sometimes when we come through, we still don't absorb the full extent of what it is that God has done and is doing in our lives, because the scriptures talk about us seeing in part. We know in part, we see in part, but it's about trust. It's about faith. It's about knowing that God is in control. So this is how we operate when life seems unfair and it seems that God has abandoned us, is that we have a new mindset, a kingdom mindset, where we pull on the word of God and we rest in God's character. God, when I can't see you, when I can't trace you, I'll yet trust you. Right? Because one thing about it is we have to realize that it's not all about us. You know, oftentimes what God is doing in your life, you know, is not about you. What he's doing in my life is not necessarily just about me. But we tend to have that very small, you know, mindset. In other words, our world view can be very small, but the thing about it is we're connected to such a larger body. I was reading today where there are millions of human beings making decisions every second. Every second. Millions of human beings making decisions every second. And every one of those decisions has an effect upon our world. Now, how many of those decisions affect you or me directly is another question. But the reality is those decisions affect the world, and our decisions affect the world to the extent of where we are. So our decisions don't affect just us, but those around us. And many, many, many decisions are being made every day, and God is aware of all of those. So everything that we do, you know, our thought life affects our actions affect us, but not only us, but those around us. God is the one who's in control, though. He knows all about it. With all that's going on in this world, all the decisions that are being made, those in high places, those in positions of authority, this is why we pray for them, that God would give them wisdom, that they would make decisions, you know, that come in line with his word, with his will. You know, God has purpose that there will be those who will oppose the kingdom. We don't always understand that. And I'm going to say that again. There are those who God has purposed will oppose the kingdom for an appointed time. Why would that be so? Well, we know that God has done that in that he would be glorified. And sometimes it's that he's going to be glorified in them and through them. But certainly there are many things about God's workings that we don't understand because we're not in control. But one thing we must know, that nothing happens apart from God. Nothing happens apart from him. He knows all about it. He set everything in motion. No matter how many decisions we make, everything remains in God's balance. You know, there's a scripture in Hebrews 1:3 that talks about the sun is the radiance of God's glory. See if I can find that. He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. You know, God is sustaining all things. So don't think that this world is out of control, that God has lost control. No, God is aware of everything that is happening. He knows that. Let's see. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. But the beginning of that scripture talks about the fact that the Son is the radiance of God's glory. He's a representation of God's exact being, and he sustains all things by the word of his power. So even though life doesn't always seem as though God is in control, doesn't seem like it's working for our good, you know, we are victors. We're not victims in this life. And God loves us unconditionally. He truly does. So we don't have to wonder. God is working everything for our good. And I want to share something else with you. We think about an individual who lost everything. The scriptures talk about one who lost everything. Now, many talk about whether or not this happened in a day for Job, or, you know, over a period of time for Job. But the scripture does tell us in Job 1 that there was no one like him on earth, that he was blameless, that he was upright, that he did fear God, you know, and that he eschewed evil, or he shunned evil. So he was somebody that loved God. Think about that. And yet God allowed the enemy to inflict pain upon him, inflict suffering upon him, and allow things to be taken from him, even to the extent of taking his family, his land, his livelihood, his cattle, everything but his life. His faith was tested. Now I would venture to say that most of us haven't been tested to that extent. Now, maybe there are some listening who would say, I have lost everything. But the thing is that when we look at this scripture, the end of the thing was that, yes, Job was sorely tried. And I'm sure through that he did have times that he questioned what it was that God was doing. But God knew Job, and God knows you, and God knows me, and he knows what we're made of. See, we don't really understand. We don't know what it is that God has really put in us to really stand. But whatever is in us has to be tested and has to be tried. And it's not always just about us, but about those around us. And I think sometimes it's good to look at our trials and our testing as a way for us to say, Lord, I'm agreeing with your word. I'm going to stand, you know, because I believe that you're showing forth to the enemy that I'm one who won't bow down, you know, that I'm one who's going to serve you and that I can't be turned away from you. Because that was God's testimony toward Job. He knew him. He knew Job's weaknesses. He knew his strengths, though, because he knew that Job relied on him. So he told Satan to, you know, take it all, you know, but just don't touch his life, because God knew that Job loved him. And God knew, of course, that he was going to be faithful to Job, and that Job would, through his strength, make it through God's strength, make it through his circumstances. So this is what I'm saying to you today, that we only see part of the picture. We see in part, but we have to know that as we're living for God, you know, that whatever comes our way, God has already ordained that it has to work together for our good. Nothing has come except God has allowed it. And if he has allowed it, certainly then the end of the thing is that God is to get glory out of it and that we are to be the better for it. So this is how we bless God in the midst of our trials. This is how we bless the Lord at all times. This is how his praises are continually in our mouths. This is how we make our boast in the Lord. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Yeah, we do that because we know that God will never leave us. We know that he always has our good at heart. We know that the trying of our faith worketh patience, and the end of a thing for us is always good because we belong to God. We are the called according to his purpose. And I want that to resonate in you, that you are the called, not according to your own purpose, but you are the called according to his purpose. God has a purpose. So the question becomes, whose purpose are you living for? Because if we're living for our own purpose and we have determined what our end is going to be, we've determined it, we're trying to yet control it, then we will seek to get off the potter's wheel. Then we will seek to circumvent the plan of God because we can't trust him. But when we can trust God and we're seeking to do his will and we want what he wants and we're coming in agreement with his word, you know, then just like Job, just because he questioned doesn't mean that he did anything wrong. He was still God's man. He was still God's servant. He still loved God. But as I said to you, life happens to all of us. But he loved God, and God loved him. It's a wonderful love story because it tells us that at the end, Job was just blessed so many times over. At the end, over and above what he started out with, you know. So his story is a great love story about trusting God, believing God, and seeing the outcome, going to the end. You know, does it mean that you don't question sometimes while you're going through? Does it mean that, you know, people won't look on you and wonder, where is your God? Why in the world are you still holding on? Doesn't look like God is on your side. You know, it certainly doesn't look like that. With all these people who are against you, how can God be for you? But this is what we know. We know that God is more than the world against us. And if God is for us, he is more than the world against us. And he is for us. And you'll find that in Romans 8 as well, that God is for you. And that's what we have to hold on to, that God is for me, and he's more than the world against me. So everything that happens in our lives is not going to be to the extent of a Job event, no. But that is a lesson that we can carry with us, that God brings good out of those situations that seem bad when we love him, when we are the called according to his purpose, and when we have agreed with his word. See, it's not only that. We can say we love him and truly love him, but our faith must be tried or it's not faith, you know. And sometimes it seems as though there's so much coming up on us and not on the next person. And this is where the enemy sometimes causes us to falter, because we want to look at our brother and our sister and say, well, why aren't they going through all this? why do they always seem to have it good, and I always have to deal with this, and I always have to deal with that? But we never know what it is that God is doing in our midst to take us to an expected end. Where God is taking you is not necessarily where he's taking me. What you have to go through is preparation for where God is taking you. And remember, with all the decisions that we make, it's not always just about us. It's about others around us. And so sometimes we're working out and working through things that have been put upon us in error. And God is saying, you've been taught this all of your life, but I'm going to bring you through so that you have a testimony that refutes what others have tried to teach you, what your history has said to you, what your family circumstances have said to you, what your family history has said to you, what it has dictated to you, what's been dictated down through your family line. You're going through this because I'm going to break the cycle, and I'm going to do it through you. So it's not just about you, because when I get through with you, yokes are going to be destroyed, not only the yoke that's upon you, but all of those who are attached to you, where the enemy is going to have to back up. Because when God gets through with you, it's going to affect those who are coming after you. And that's the thing we have to understand, is sometimes it's not just for us, but for our children and for our children's children and those yet to come. And if we're willing to go through the process, God will destroy yokes and God will bring us out victoriously and all those who are attached to us. So God wants us to trust him. He wants us to have hope. Trust him in the midst of our circumstances. You know, believe that God is always fair, that he's always just. It doesn't seem fair because, remember, we're going on our own mindset, and it's skewed. It's skewed, and this is why God wants us to have the mind of Christ, you know, and the mind of Christ was simply this, to do the will of God. That's what the mind of Christ is to do the will of the Father. It's how can I have the mind of Christ? How can I operate with the mind of Christ? Yes, we can have the mind of Christ, and that is, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't always want to do this. It doesn't feel good. Jesus even wanted the cup to pass from him. But he finally came to a place of nevertheless. Nevertheless, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the mind of Christ, is that I can go to God and say, this doesn't feel good. I don't like this. I don't want to go through this. But you know what? It's not just about me. And I realize that you've called me to purpose. And the purpose that I have resonates through the earth, and it's not just about me, but there are others who are going to be affected by the decisions that I make. That's the mind of Christ. That's us having the mind of Christ. We're not living in a vacuum. You're attached to others. Your life affects others, just as the lives that have been before you have affected you, and we're having to work through those things and work out of those things and work over those things and work with those things in some instances. Thank God for that. But God has a plan for you and for me, and he wants us to trust that his plans for us are always good. They're to do us good and not evil. And those are the things that he wants us to stand on. He's saying, stand and trust my character. You know, every day when you get up, tell me that you love me. Tell me that you trust me. And then I'll show you. I'll show myself strong on your behalf. Yeah, believe that God is in control of your life, but we have to operate that way. If he's in control, we don't want to try to take the helm back. We want to let him take it, you know. When we find ourselves trying to drive, trying to guide, it's okay to just admit that to the Lord. You know, oh, it's getting kind of rocky through here, Lord. I'm really wanting to take it on myself, but I'm going to trust you. Help me to trust you. Help me to trust you. You know, I trust that you have a good plan. Teach me, Lord. Teach me not to lean to my own understanding, you know, but to rely on you. Then we can pray those type of prayers. I don't want to lean on my own understanding, but I want to rely on you, Lord. Help me to do that. And he will. God will help us to do that. Listen, I'm trusting that tonight you have been encouraged. God is a good God, and he is a God with a great plan, and the great plan includes you. Amen. So there are times, yes, when God seems unfair, but it's just not true. He is fair. It's just not true. And he always has our good at heart. So I want you to keep that in mind tonight. Listen, I want you to be prepared to come and be with us next week. I don't know if anyone had comment tonight. I did not note that anyone had anything to say on tonight, but certainly it does seem that way sometimes, that what we're going through is simply unfair. But God has not forgotten you, my friend. He's with you, he's walking with you, and he has a great plan for your life. Amen? God bless you. Lord, we thank you and we bless you for these, your great and precious people. Bless them wherever they are and whenever they may listen to this broadcast. We're praying that you would overshadow them with your great anointing. Lead them, O God, in the way everlasting. We thank you and we bless you now. Let yokes be destroyed. Let healing be theirs in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and we bless you. In the name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Thank God. Amen. Well, we thank God for you, and we look forward to talking with you again on When Passion Meets Purpose next Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you.